97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Carl, why does that intro music take so long? Can you explain that to me?
Because you love that song and love hearing it. And well, so does everyone else
but
here.
But it gives me a little that little extra minute or two that I need to come in and readjust the camera and sign into the computer and all that stuff after the other hosts screw everything up when I'm not here. I'm just saying. My studio and everybody else just lives in it.
Except we have to set up everyone else's studio. So no one does that for us. I don't understand.
I'm just kidding. You know what? It's 5 in the morning, 5:07 a.m. on your Wednesday morning. Happy that you're with us this morning. Wow. Little chilly might be the understatement of the day. You think? It was 32 degrees in my truck when I got in it this morning. Parked outside, obviously, because I still can't get in my 3-car garage. And there was a little frost on the bed of the truck. Ugh. Did you have any frost?
No, I was in the garage, but I mean, it is very cold. And it's more, I mean, obviously we know 37 degrees is cold. I don't think anyone would say it's not. But when you have had, what, 70s, 80s, even, what, a week ago, we were close to, I want to say, the 90s at one point.
Yeah.
It's really a shock to the system. It's all about perspective.
A little bit of a shock. Had to actually dig a coat out this morning, which I've been avoiding at all costs.
But dust the cobwebs off.
I did have to get my University of Kentucky coat out this morning to put on. They had their Midnight Madness last night. Which is...
What is that?
Well, the first day you can officially have practice. So, like, at the stroke of midnight, everybody fills up Memorial Coliseum, and they all are... Or probably not Memorial Coliseum, probably Rupp. And they all have their first show practice where they're shooting around.
At midnight?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
It is fun.
Do other schools do that?
A few do.
Okay. I'm not
but
sure.
But when you
I'm
are the
familiar.
Mecca of college basketball, yeah,
and is that a title
it.
You've given them, or
no,
is that agreed
knows
upon?
That. And everybody knows
okay.
that, right? Everybody knows that. Yeah, everybody knows that. I mean, they'll tell you out of Kansas that they started basketball at Kansas, but Adolph Rupp took it and perfected it at Kentucky. That's what I would point out to those Kansas fans out there. But regardless, we are ranked 23rd going into the season, which is not great news, but we're going to surprise a lot of people. Let's put it that way. That's what I've decided. So it was a bit of a late night because it was the kickoff to Kentucky basketball. But I am here with you this morning. And we got a great show. We got lots of stuff to get to for you this morning. Todd Pyro bagged us yesterday. So we are going to have him on this morning at about 7:35. And of course, I joked yesterday, we're going to check in with Todd to see if he's been feeding the proper questions to Brett Baer for that one-on-one interview with Kamala a little later.
Brett has really been talking about the way this came about and how it's going to go down. I think they're just trying to be transparent because, understandably, people have raised a lot of questions about why is this pre-taped? He's saying, well, we're airing it because that was the time the campaign gave me,
yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I am consistently disappointed with how campaigns can dictate to media when they're going to have access to certain politicians.
Does she have a rally or something in a different state, and that's why she can't possibly do the live interview an hour later?
She can't possibly do a live interview because she's scared to death to do a live interview.
Well, that would be my argument.
But to Fox's credit... and unlike what happened to Mike Johnson, we're going to play an example of that the other day, where they edited his bite out. Margaret Brennan did. They claim they're going to record it straight. 30 minutes, we're recording it. What you see is what you get. So it will be the closest thing to a, if he's telling the truth, it'll be the closest thing to a live interview on network television that Kamala's had so far. Other than the debate, which was live.
I do trust of all the networks, I trust Fox to be true to its word. But we've seen what happened with CBS as it related to that 60 Minutes interview where they did initially have the responses Kamala gave. And then it was like it got backlash or something. So they went and edited it.
Right.
So I think that's where people are thinking, you're saying that, but how do we really know that's what's going to happen? That there was not any editing. Again, I'm going to trust Fox in this one.
There would be ways you could tell, I think. I mean, if they want to not start it clean, that would be one way to know that it was recorded in its entirety. Like, you hear Brett Baer asking her, okay, Madam Vice President, are you ready? All right, we're going to go. Welcome into Fox News. Here's our exclusive interview with Kamala Harris, vice presidential candidate. Which means they're going to run it commercial free, which is good.
And so more time for questions.
Exactly. Trump's going to be on this morning on a town hall. Boy, he did a great job with the Bloomberg editor yesterday.
Yeah, the economic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Kamala Harris, number one, she doesn't have an original thought, even if she understood economics. But to sit down and argue with this editor-in-chief of Bloomberg about how ignorant he is on issues like tariffs, where he's been highly critical of what Donald Trump wants to do, Trump just schooled him. And the guy didn't know what to say. Well, you're just... No, Trump's like, no, you're wrong. You've been wrong on this for 25 years, and no one's ever called you out on it, and I'm calling you out on it.
I would genuinely... I would pay my... I would probably throw down...
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. At least 100, 200 bucks to see Kamala do that exact same thing.
Oh, she turned down the opportunity.
No, I know. Of course she did, because all she would say is, I was raised in a middle class family, and that would be her answer to every question.
She just, economics are probably running a dog pound would be out of her scope of abilities, but an economics question would completely baffle her. The word salad would be too much. All right, we've wasted enough time here. Carl, let's get to the short list, please.
The Mark Cox Short List.
If you can think of the issues that people care about, that they ask pollsters, or they answer to pollsters what they care about, those questions are going to be in the mix.
In the mix. There you go. That's Brett Baer saying he's going to ask the questions people care about. Here's the question I care about. Kamala, you claim you have a Glock. How many rounds does the magazine hold, and why isn't it illegal? Where do you store it? Because it would be illegal in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco.
As it relates to the economy, which is a lot of what you have addressed. Look, I grew up in the middle class. My mother, you know, worked hard, raised me and my sister.
Oh, boy. Reparations. Now she's so desperate to get the black vote. She's now promising to take a hard look at more free money. How much can I pay you to vote for me?
100% serious. There'll be alcoholism. There'll be broken marriages.
What?
Yeah. They think he's the worst person possible to be president.
That's Mark Halperin. He goes on with Tucker yesterday and talks about the long-term effects of a Trump victory, that he thinks the left in this country will be in mental health crisis for years. There'll be fist fights. There'll be marriages broken up. It's going to be bad, he said.
St. Louis will be impacted, as Walgreens says it's trying to navigate losing millions of dollars. We do know one Walgreens in the bi-state will be shutting in the coming weeks.
Wow. Wow. First CVS and now Walgreens. Are you paying attention? Because the story is the way this is being played locally. Did you see the Channel 4 story on this?
Yeah, I read the article this morning.
And this is not a criticism of Channel 4. They went out and covered the story. But the sound bites they got to support it are borderline ridiculous. The people in the city are mad at Walgreens for not being willing to, instead of fixing the problem, they're mad at Walgreens for not being willing to put up with the continued loss of revenue through theft and robbery because it might disadvantage somebody in that neighborhood that's crime-ridden that they're pulling their store out of because they can't operate it at a profit.
Do people also not realize that almost any grocery store I've been to has a pharmacy you can go to? There are so many other places you can go now and get those drugs, which, sure, that has to play into some of these closures. I'm guessing a lot of them are going to be crime and theft and things like that, lost revenue. But some of it has to just be that people are finding other ways now to get those the things that you'd go to Walgreens for, people are ordering them on Amazon, or they're getting their groceries at the grocery store or at Target or Walmart, and they're picking up everything they used to pick up at Walgreens.
But you there's not a Walmart in North St. Louis, and there's
in
not
South,
a
South City,
and there's not a Schnucks store. There's very few Schnucks stores in North St. Louis, or Aldi's, or I mean, all of these grocery stores and convenience stores have the exact same problem. Unless you were willing to put an armed, like multiple armed guards, and enforce the law against stealing, you have the same loss problem Walgreens has.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you expect any business? These liberals drive me crazy. Instead of addressing the problem, which is the crime, because if you took care of the crime, these businesses could operate the way most businesses do, which is at a comfortable profit level so they can stay in business. But you want them to operate at a loss just to accommodate your bad policies.
There are no Deerbergs in St. Louis City property.
They won't go in there, and I don't blame them either.
Why would you do that?
This Walgreens that's going to close in November on South Broadway in South City. Carl, what neighborhood would that be in?
It's South St. Louis. It probably has a boutique name, but I don't know. Yeah. South City.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I just wanted to point it out. CBS did the same thing, and they all cited the high cost of crime on their businesses. And all we can do is moan in the city about, well, Mayor Jones says, you know, Fleshman Hillard never even consulted our office before they decided to leave. Guess what? They don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You've had 40 years of Democrat rule in the city. They've seen what you're going to do. So they're getting the hell out of Dodge. Why would they come to you and say, hey, by the way, we're thinking about leaving just so she can throw more taxpayer money at him, try to get him to stay?
Right.
No, it's not enough.
I can list 10 reasons why a company would not want to be here in the city of St. Louis.
It's not enough. All right, let me get to a break here real quick. Kim on a Whim coming up at the bottom of the hour. Carl, who's got our national anthem?
Last night, Prashard Owens did his version of the national anthem, and I'm trying to find it right here because I put it in here, and there. Here it is.
Welcome back. Told you we're going to get Charles Payne on here coming up a little later. The guy went sideways yesterday on these Kamala Harris proposals to buy votes from black males. Like, she's out there handing out cash like Oprah Winfrey. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. All you have to do is watch me. All you have to do is vote for me. You're going to get $25,000 toward a new house. We're going to set up a fund just for black men. How discriminatory is that? There's not a fund out there just for white men. Or white women, or Asian women. I mean, this is insane. How many times does the Supreme Court have to slap down these crazy progressives on the left? I can't even start to think about that. Let's go to the Charles Payne bite. He is not playing anymore. Go to cut 8, please.
Every one of these initiatives, by the way, Kamala Harris is talking about, mentorship, apprenticeship, these are all buzzwords. These are all buzzwords. You know, I'm 23 years old. Now you want to give me an apprenticeship? You're not even talking about long-term solutions for my children. None of this is for long-term. Oh, health initiative, get the health initiative. You know how they're going to help black people in health? They're going to expand screening, preventative screenings. That's not helping. That's the kind of thing when they tell black people, go out and improve your credit. For what? To be a better consumer? I mean, all of this stuff is ridiculous. This is all the stuff this is in their bag of tricks. But the bags of tricks, it's old, it's got cobwebs on it, and it's left black people wanting and hurting in this
country. We're going to find it. Even hit K-12 education.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday, she's pandering on Charlemagne the God. How the dude came up with that name, I have no idea. But what he wants to know is, so what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me as a black man, as a black person? I want free money. So she's like, well, I think we need to look at reparations. Hit that one, Carl, please. Cut 6.
So to your point, yes, I am running to be a president for all Americans. That being said, I do have clear eyes about the disparities that exist and the context in which they exist, meaning history, to your point. So my agenda, well, first of all, on the point of reparations, it has to be studied. There's no question about that. And I've been very clear about that position.
Yes.
In terms of my immediate plan, I will tell you a few of the following. One, as it relates to the economy, which is a lot of what you have addressed. Look, I grew up in the middle class. My mother, you know, worked hard, raised me and my sister.
She cannot answer a question. Are you going to give me free money or not? Well, it needs to be studied because she doesn't have the power to do that. And no common sense human being in America is ever going to vote for it. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
If you've ever Googled yourself, and I suggest that you do, you'll be surprised to see how much information you can find out about yourself. Go to White Pages even, and you can see, of course, not only your address, potentially a phone number. You can see relatives' names, past addresses where you've lived. It's kind of alarming, and I know all of this is public information, but again, how available it is, I think, is pretty alarming when you actually put your name into it, and you're like, oh, I did live there 10 years ago, and it does still say it on White Pages. Because obviously, we all had the phone book. I remember that growing up, but that wouldn't have your prior addresses and your relative names, all of that information, right? It just pretty much had your phone number and I guess your address. Did
they have
your address?
There used to be something called the Crisscross Directory, which we paid for at the TV station.
I don't remember. What is that?
Well, it was a big, thick book that sat up at the assignment desk. And if you knew a phone number but not an address, like somebody had called you, you could go to the Crisscross Directory and look up the phone number, and oftentimes it would have the address associated with that phone number back when people had landlines.
But how many people? So you had that obviously as a TV station. I can see why that was necessary.
Yes.
But I bet the average person, right, would not have had that.
You had the address and you wanted a phone number. You could go look up the address and find out what phone number is associated with it. So oftentimes it was a way to reach people that you otherwise didn't have a phone number for. It didn't have them in there often. Always by name, but you could look up addresses and phone numbers. But yeah, you're right. It's a whole different ballgame now.
Yeah.
It is. We talk about people being doxxed. You can dox people with a simple Google search these days, just about.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Oh, it is. That's why I said you should just Google yourself and see how much information is readily available, because a lot of people are creepers, and they could be doing that too. Well, these two Harvard University students wanted to just raise awareness about how much information is actually out there for people to see publicly. So they use those Ray-Ban smart glasses. Have you seen those? Where you're able to take pictures, and I think you can even have your phone call people through the glasses and messages. I mean, all kinds of things.
I had a pair of those X-ray glasses I ordered out of the back of a cartoon book one time. But I don't think I've had any of these.
No, you haven't actually gotten the official glasses?
No.
It's about $300, I think, is what I saw, if you'd like to fork that over. So what they did is they created this software to pair with these Ray-Ban smart glasses, and it's wild what they were able to do. Listen to part of the story.
Like, people didn't even know that existed.
They use smart glasses that anyone can buy to stream a live video feed to a computer program. That program uses an existing reverse image search tool to connect a face to a name. Using artificial intelligence, the data is compiled onto an app on their phone within a minute, allowing them to test out the project they call iX-ray on unsuspecting strangers.
Oh, hi, ma'am. Wait, are you a Betsy?
Yes.
So what they're doing is they're wearing these glasses that look kind of like your average glasses. They're just maybe a little bit thicker on the frames. And you can see the little camera if you look closely. And they would just walk up to a person and just looking at them, it would record video and then send it to the software that they developed. So just looking at someone was all they needed. And it would pull up past pictures of them from years ago, their address, their phone number, their name, which is why you heard that guy walk up to some woman. It looked like maybe on a subway. And said, oh, are you Betsy so-and-so? People were stunned. So they would just go up to people sitting at restaurants and say, oh, hi, is your address? Da-da-da-da-da. Yes.
I need a pair of these for my next class reunion because I can't remember anybody's
name.
Well,
you know what's funny?
And
is
the name tags don't always work, right? Because I'm thinking,
it's awkward looking at them, too,
just
trying to find the name tag.
So is it going to be creepy if I walk up to you at a restaurant and you find me staring at you for a full minute while my phone does research on you to
figure
out your name?
Hold on. Kim, how are you? Good to see you. It's been a while. See, I made fun of anyone who knows me well knows that not only am I bad with names, I'm bad with faces to an embarrassing degree. I hope our boss, Trisha's listening right now because she knows this as well. And it's not that I don't care.
I hope Margaret's listening, too.
Carl, I'm not going to go into that. But I am terrible, and it's awful. And I'm like, I'm that person where it's like, I have to really interact with you probably multiple times. And it's terrible.
She didn't remember my name at first.
It's Ron, it's fine, okay? Don't complain about this.
Thanks.
So,
Sherry.
At least you don't call me Karen. I'll take anything but Karen. Yeah, this is funny because they're talking about how these glasses could be used for, like, say, Alzheimer's patients, and it would help anyone suffering with memory loss. It would help them be able to recognize people. So I can see where this would be good, but then this is an example of how it can be used for harm, in my opinion. Now, again, I understand a lot of this information is public, but it's not like you or I have the ability to walk up to somebody and just by staring at them, we're able to pull up all the information about the person.
No.
Like, think if you were a predator and you're walking around and
that's
you see someone
thing.
That you're interested in and you want to stalk them. Here we go. Let me pull up their address and follow them home.
Yeah. You know, I mean, first of all, we need to see what these glasses look like so you know if somebody's wearing them. Secondly, the first person that gets their nose broken while staring at you wearing a pair of these glasses, somebody needs to do a national television story on it so you'll be more cautious about how you approach people and stare at them wearing Coke bottle glasses with a camera attached to it.
It reminds me of, what's that movie? Of course, I can't think of it anymore. With the girl at the pool, and he kisses her after he pretends to drown. Why am I blanking on the name of that? And he has the little dark, the thick framed glasses.
Do you have any idea what she's talking about?
No. It's a baseball movie. Why am I blanking on it? I like this movie.
Angels in the Outfield?
No.
Sandlot.
Thank you. Sandlot. That the little boy who wears the little glasses. That's what it looks like.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yes, thank you. Forever.
Earl Jones is in it.
These glasses are going to be like the new Cybertruck where you start to see more and more. Like, remember when it was a huge deal when you would see one Cybertruck? Now I see them on a semi-regular basis. It's going to be like these glasses. People are going to start wearing them, and you have to wonder, what are they doing with it? Because these Harvard students aren't offering this software to everybody. They were doing this to show how much information you can gather, how easy it is.
It would have, you're right, powerful business applications, right?
Yeah.
You could walk into a room full of people at a bar and immediately determine which ones were ones you needed to make contact with because that guy's a CEO or that lady's the head of, human resources or whatever the case may be, right? That'd be powerful.
Yeah, it would pull up their LinkedIn, pull up their social media accounts.
But the freaks could absolutely misuse it.
Well, and that's the problem.
Hmm.
And you have to wonder where this is all going. I mean, AI is great in a lot of ways, but
I wonder when somebody's going to come out with the the blocker, like the electronic blocker. You could carry this in your shirt pocket in a pen, and it would interfere with anybody trying to record you or look at you with those glasses. Like, it would screw up their feed, so it wouldn't work.
So I was going to say, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I wonder, this is just
I don't have the
trippy
technical ability to create something like that, but I would think that it probably already exists if I've read enough spy novels. I've got stuff like that, I know.
Well, what's smart is these two students, they put out information about how you can take your name off of these public sites. Because you can get your information to a degree taken off of white pages. You can do that. It's just how many of us actually take the time to do it. I probably need to. It's like one of those things where it's on my to-do list for like 5 years and I just keep forgetting to do it. I'm like, shoot, I'm going to do that this week. And then another week passes and here I am all these years later and I've yet to do it.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I'm glad I'll never forget when I first told my parents years ago that somebody could like do an internet search and find out information about them. And they were like, well, how do I stop that? And I'm like, well, there's really not much you can do. If because you've publicly put out your address on documents and you've filled out things to win contests and all that stuff's been sold and resold and there's just no end to it, right? I mean, if people in Russia could get your home address, probably, if they wanted to.
Well, yeah, everything's tied to your personal information now. I mean, you can't get away with a lot of things without entering that in. So it's very available, and there's no federal law, by the way, that bans the use of facial recognition systems. So you have to know that other people are probably doing this, too. If two students were able to do this, I know they're Harvard, but if two students were able to do this, some other people certainly are, too.
Yep, that's true. That's very true. All right. What is going to happen when Donald Trump wins the election in 23 days? What do you think is going to happen? Of course, the left, Kamala Harris, all these people are claiming that, you know, if Donald Trump loses, it's going to be worse than the last time. There'll be an insurrection, blah, blah, blah. What if he wins? Mark Halperin had some dire predictions as to what would happen, and I'm going to play you some of those when we come back here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
I say this not flippantly. I think it will be the cause of the greatest mental health crisis in the history of the country. I think tens of millions of people will question their connection to the nation, their connection to other human beings, their connection to their vision of what their future for them and their children could be like. And I think that will be require an enormous amount of access to mental health professionals. I think it'll lead to trauma in the workplace. I think there'll be some degree of...
Are you being serious?
100% serious.
Halperin used to work for ABC News. That's Mark Halperin talking about what might happen if Donald Trump wins. Now, he's not... I don't know if he's for or against Trump, but he is... He's seriously bought into all of the hype from the left on how dangerous, that Donald Trump might be. And he just doesn't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, last time Madonna famously threatened to blow up the White House, she was so mad. I mean, how dare somebody could be in there with a little bit of common sense? We can't have somebody in the White House with common sense who's going to turn off the public spigot where we give cash to everybody, because that's what we're doing. So, you know, she did this Charlemagne the God interview, and she's taking questions from callers. And did you hear this one? Because she basically agreed with somebody, again, that Donald Trump might start, he might put together concentration camps and start locking up people who don't look like him if he becomes president. And she feeds into this garbage. Listen.
Hi, I'm Bobby from Georgia, and I have a question for Kamala Harris.
Bobby sounds like he's the president of white dudes for Kamala.
Could you please respond to Trump's claim that he's going to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to round up immigrants if he wins the election? This law was last used to put Asian Americans in internment camps during World War II, and I have a sneaking suspicion that if Trump wins, he's going to use this law to put anyone that doesn't look white in camps, and I'm scared.
Hmm. Yeah, so... you've hit on a really important point and expressed it, I think, so well, which is he is achieving his intended effect to make you scared.
I just want to leave that. I want to leave that out there for a minute. She thinks that a leading presidential contender would try to scare you into voting for him, or scare you into not voting for him? I'm trying to follow her logic there. He has intended is to have you scared. Well, what? Why? How does that benefit Trump to do that? It doesn't benefit any politician to drive people away. So if you see her logic here? He's trying to scare you. Well, hold on. He said he's going to deport illegal aliens. He's going to round them up and deport them in record numbers. Well, unless you're an illegal alien, why would you be scared about that?
Mm-hmm. By the way, there was an ABC or NBC poll that came out just in the last week that said, I think it was around 56% of people now support deporting all illegals. That's big.
You. Well, sure.
So more than half the country, at least the people who respond, well, people who respond to this say, yeah, I side with Trump on deporting everybody.
Trump wins on that issue because, of course, by like 25 points, people agree with him on the immigration issue. But Halperin went even further about he thinks there's going to be violence in the street if Trump wins.
No, I actually agree with that.
He thinks there will be violence in the street.
I think there will be, too.
That feeds into the lie by people like Kamala Harris that he's going to use the military to calm down the crowds when they lose their collective minds because it's Kamala Harris and not Donald Trump, who has scared the living hell out of people of what might happen if Donald Trump becomes president. She's the one running a campaign of fear. There's no doubt about that. Go to cut 11, Carl, please.
100% serious. I think there'll be alcoholism. There'll be broken marriages.
What?
Yeah. They think he's the worst person possible to be president. And having one by the hand of Jim Comey and Fluke in 2016, and then performed in office for 4 years and denied who won the election last time, and January 6th, the fact that under a fair election, America chose by the rules pre-agreed to, Donald Trump again, I think it will cause the biggest mental health crisis in the history of America. And I don't think it will be kind of a passing thing that by the inauguration will be fine. I think it will be sustained and unprecedented and hideous. And I don't think the country's ready for it.
I get what you're saying, like he's kind of fear-mongering there. But I do agree that people hate Donald Trump so much that people are going to absolutely spiral. Some people will, I believe. And I do think that some people are going to take to the streets. Like, I'm talking BLM stuff from 2020. Like, I actually believe that people could take to the streets and we could see a building or two
on
fire.
That's a violent insurrection, it sounds to me like, and maybe we just need to lock those people up. I wonder if the DOJ will have the same passionate pursuit of those criminals. It sounds like you're talking about criminal behavior of just people upset over the outcome of an election. That sounds like an insurrection. As long as they're peaceful, I don't care what they do. The point is, you've got a bunch of people who are mentally on the edge to begin with, if the simple election not going their way is what sends them over the edge. There's a lot of snowflakes out there. There is no doubt about that. And we're about to see that in real life. All right. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.